Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org.
Good evening. Once in the morning and twice at night, we hit the han outside. I ask the shojis to, even if it's cold outside, leave the door open for the han so that we can feel it. It's important to me that, and Shoshoji, you could hit it nice and hard. It's important to me that everybody feel it in their heart, the pounding of that wood. And it should be both strong, and then the roll down, from my point of view, should be a little bit mournful at the end, kind of slow. The message of the han is, wake up. Please don't waste your life. It says, life and death are great matters. Time passes like an arrow swiftly. Don't waste your life. Take care. Take heed. Be diligent. This one life that we have, all of us only get one, and the chances that we are born a human, according to Buddhism, are very, very, very small. And I guess if you thought about it too, you would come to the same conclusion. We could have been born as all kinds of creatures, and we got this life. Sometimes Buddhism reminds us of that. We got this life. The kind of life that can understand life and death, in the only kind of life that we know that can pursue a spiritual goal. So the han says, don't waste that, please. Because it's finite, this life of ours. It's the great tragedy or sorrow of being born a glorious human being is that it will have to end. It's temporary. And not only that, but we know right now, we have that knowledge that it will end, that we will all be buried or scattered before long in the big picture. So the han asks us to remember that. Remember that life is short. And rather than spend it following our noses, chasing creature comforts, let's spend time asking the big questions, doing this practice of living and dying. And that is what our practice is, I think, is learning to live and learning to die every day. learning what it feels like to do the dying activity, and learning what it feels like to come back from that and do the living activity. What it feels like to lose intentionally, to give up things, to give up, you could say, everything. What muscles are those that we use? In Zen practice, we use those muscles of letting go as fully and completely as we can. That is to die. That is to die. To let go fully. Dying is the hard part, I think. The living activity comes kind of naturally to us. The running around and getting activity. But if we can learn this death activity, then I think we can have it with us in our lives. It can keep us company, this activity. And the way I think about it, the life activity needs company. Life needs some death. It works so hard being life all the time. It could use a break. It could use some giving up control over to the activity of death. So, in a context like this, we learn what it is to give up, to die, to give up naming things, to give up our desires, to give up and to become transparent, as you said, as transparent as we can. We do it in this controlled context with friends, so that we can go back to life, to our lives, and have that feeling with us, carry that feeling with us, and practice it. Practice giving over the lead to the death activity. And practice taking the lead back to the life activity. We get a chance to do that here during in the context of the retreat too. My favorite kind of time to feel that is work activity, sanu activity, where, you know, we have to think. We get a job, okay. Where's the mop? Where are the brooms? Can't find them. Look around, find the broom. And then we just can give ourselves away to that activity. Drop ourselves completely. Just enter in to no-self activity. And that's a kind of death. Moving, to be sure, but dying to our everyday concerns. And that's what I think of as giving over the lead to no self. And then we run out of sweeping. We've swept the whole porch and we have to think about, okay, what are we going to sweep next? And then No self. Hands the lead right back over to self, to think about itself. That model of life is a model in which no self and self, life and death, are friends with each other. They know each other, they trust each other enough to hand over the lead to the other. And I think that will help when we get to the end of this life of ours. I mean, I don't know how much, but I think it'll help. Having practiced this, letting go and picking up. But more than that even, I think it will help us in this life. Every day, relieve, give some relief to the life activity. Give some balance to our lives. Allow us to live without the background hum of, to use a strong word, fear, that I think we live with around death, around giving up, around losing. It's not just for the end of life that we do this great activity of life and death, back and forth and back and forth. I believe that Ikkyu is a good example of somebody who believed firmly in losing himself, and he practiced it to the greatest extent he could. And he believed firmly in picking up himself. He believed in having both of those activities woven into his existence. I think if we can learn to die fully, then we have a chance to live more fully and openly and truly helpfully. We're going to ring the horn again tonight. Listen up.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.